Hey team, welcome to another episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader Podcast, the podcast where we actually explore the minds of leaders from all around the agriculture and agribusiness space about what it takes to lead intentionally in this industry today. My friends, if there's some value in here for you today, we ask you to subscribe to the podcast, share this with someone who needs to hear the message of what it takes to be intentional. Let's get into the show. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader. You are in our CEO and President's season here in April and May 2024. I'm excited today to have this conversation with Ryan Hassebrook from Servitech. Ryan, thanks for being on with me, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So we go back a little ways. I think it must have been, 2008 when you were, or 7 or 8, right?
Yeah,
when you were
state there, affiliate. Yeah, I think 2000, yeah. Well, actually further back than that, 2005.
Yeah, so it's going back a ways. So ran into Ryan when I was doing state FFA officer training back in the day in my early training career. And came across him, and we've had I've had the pleasure of being able to stay in touch, and he was actually one of the six participants that showed up to the very first event that we ever ran in Omaha now a decade ago.
Yeah. I was thinking about that as I mentioned. My oldest daughter was born the week after, and so I remember. I mean, obviously the content and the experience was good, but I also remembered thinking, "Man, if I get a call, I'm just going to leave here pretty quickly." So, it was a good experience. So almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and a lot has happened. So I'm looking forward to catching up on some of that, because at that point in life, you were fairly early on in the career as a territory manager, I believe, or a sales rep in an area for AgriGold, and now you're the president of Servitech, which is all over the place across the High Plains. So congrats on the growth. I'm excited to learn how that all took place. But let's start off with our usual question, Ryan, which is what does it mean for you to be intentional?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Mark. And again, thanks for having me. We at Servitech, we talk a lot. We're a data-focused organization and providing service to growers. And so we talk a lot about not being able to manage what you don't measure. And so for us, being intentional about things means we put a measurement to it. We follow a strategy, and we've got a strategic plan that we try to implement throughout. And so there's strategy, there's tactics that go to help us accomplish that strategy. But ultimately, if we're going to be intentional about it, we've got to have a measure as well. And so those are the three key parts for us as far as being intentional about what we focus on, how we do it, and then how are we measuring what success looks like.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fantastic. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it, to really be that intentional about all the little things that you measure? Is that something you guys build into business process? Is that just the standard for what happens in the organization? How do you make sure that shows up?
Right. I'll take a step back and say we don't have it entirely figured out. Mm-hmm. We began this journey with our strategic plan in July of 2022. So I stepped into the CEO role in May of 2022. And so in July, we engaged in a planning process with our board. We follow the balanced scorecard framework for strategic planning. There's nine steps that kind of go with that. I think the thing for us that we have really tried to be thoughtful and intentional about is recognizing that the strategic plan is a living document that, you know, we meet once a year to review and talk about it, but we got to live it every day for it to be meaningful. Otherwise, that time is wasted. We are still not 100% there yet. I benefit from having the model of some board members that have been down this process, and they're 10, 15, 20 years down the line in theirs. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet with ours. I mean, we're still very much wanting to work on alignment and making sure that company goals and all of the different strategies also align with individual job descriptions and job performance, mm-hmm. and some of those kinds of things. We've got a lot of measures in place, and you know, we talk about those measures and why they're important. And they're not all just profit and EBITDA and those kinds of things. I mean, we're measuring, net promoter scores of our employees and regrettable turnover and factors that help us understand our employee experience. We're trying to do the same thing with our customers and understanding the customer experience. And so, with all of those measures, it helps us find areas where we can improve. And I think one of the things that's been important to me is just recognizing that, in all of these measures, yes, we want to get the top score, but even in those spots where we fall short, those are the opportunities for us to grow and to improve. And so that's what we've been really focused on in the last, 2 years almost.
Wow. That's so I love the way your brain works and picks problems apart because we can see the big thing challenge that we have before us, right? Which ultimately is having everything aligned, right? And you've got your whole plan coming together, recognizing, hey, we're 2 years into this thing, not even, right? You're a year and a half into this thing. Of course, we're not going to be there yet, but these are like the little things that we get to go to work on. We're looking for those little indicators to be able to apply that strategy to be able to move forward.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the level of intention going into your thought around these things. Is that something for you? Is there natural talent there? Is that something that your brain gravitates to? Is that a learned experience that in order to do this job, you've figured out, hey, I got to be able to do this well? How did that manifest for you? And Ryan, the reason I ask is I'm thinking about somebody who's 10 years back in their career from where you are now, in the last decade, gone from sales, from a territory sales manager to now being the CEO of a fairly sizable company, 170 employees, right?
I mean, I think markets both. I think about like, and for anybody who's kind of thinking about what does that journey look like, I would encourage you to spend some time in introspection and understanding yourself and then understanding others. And so, whether that's with the Gallup Strengths Finder or any of those different kind of personality types of traits and tests that are out there, we internally in our company, we use a tool called the Culture Index. And I think between Gallup and the Culture Index, and so understanding, I do have a natural, I guess, proclivity towards strategy and strategizing and those kinds of things. But then I also recognize when you spend a lot of time thinking on strategy and at 30,000 foot, there's things that are happening on the ground that, I recognize I have situational attention to detail. I can be very attentional and attentive to detail in situations, but there's plenty of them where I'm like, I don't know. And so, I think spending some time to understand where your strengths are and then really trying to emphasize those. I mean, I do genuinely believe in, the Donald Clifton thinking that you can manage weakness and soar with strengths. And so, I mean, I know where weaknesses are for me, and I try to have team members that we can round those types of things out because, I mean, I recognize where some of mine are, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time trying to improve upon those because I know I can accomplish more focusing on those things that I do better.
Sure thing. I've had a lot of organizations give lip service to the focusing on strengths and mitigating for weakness and things like this. How are you guys trying to bring that to life? Are you doing those assessments with all employees and then trying to help train to that? Or how are you guys doing that?
So as I mentioned, we, and I don't want to do a sales pitch here, but we use a tool called the Culture Index, and there's a number of them out there that I think, any business, once you get past a certain threshold, whether that's 50 employees or whatever, I think it's worthwhile to have a tool to help you understand your staff to understand you. And so, like I said, we use the Culture Index. There's a couple of different things that we use that for. One is for staff to understand just what makes them click. And I think that understanding is important. And then we try to utilize that to make sure defining what success looks like in a job role. And then we try to align personality and the person to that job role. So every applicant for us takes the Culture Index. It's not that an end all be all, right? Like, we're not going to not hire the right person because they're their personality profile didn't match what we thought was successful. I would tell you, some of my best hires have been ones that weren't close matches for a job because we didn't have conceptualize what success was correctly in the moment. But we do use that. Like I said, all of our hiring managers at this point have been trained on it. We use it with new hires. We use it with staff. We try to talk about it during reviews, just in understanding too, reminding sometimes, hey, part of the reason that this person or this personality or these dynamics are playing out is because this person's personality thrives on this. This one thrives on that. Like, here's how we can navigate the center ground. So, we've really tried to work through that. And again, it's always a growing process. We don't have it entirely figured out, but it's been a useful tool for us.
Yeah, that's good. If you could just distill that into one or two benefits for your business, I do want to make a sales pitch out of it because I think it's fantastically intentional and more people should be doing stuff like this, whether it's this or something else.
Sure.
So what would be the top one or two benefits you guys are getting that are affecting your business?
I think better, I'm not going to say manager. You manage projects, you lead people, but better leader interactions with staff members. I think, like I said, when our staff leaders understand how to better interact with their staff and motivate and challenge, that piece for us has been essential. And I think, frankly, again, that just the hiring component, having one added thing, in addition to a resume, in addition to an interview, one added piece of data that can help you make the right hire.
Fantastic. I'm a big believer too. We use a tool that has a very unfortunate correlation to StrengthsFinder, and it's called StrengthsScope, and
Oh,
it's
yeah.
really not the same assessment at all, but it's similar in some ways. And so the idea behind StrengthsScope is it's measuring what does the individual get energy from as they
Right.
do the work, right? And so I'm someone who the more that I develop others and when I'm whether it's making a podcast or speaking on stage or running an event, while I'm doing it, I'm actually getting more energy.
Absolutely.
On the flip side, right? If you ask me to go into detail and spend a
Yeah,
lot of
expense
time
reports. Yeah.
these things like the like that stuff, right? Then I mean, I can I do it? Yes, I can physically do it. I can accomplish the task, and when I'm done with that, right, I need a nap and a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
Yeah.
and because it just you feel drained, right? So we focus on what are the energy givers and what are the energy drainers, right?
And our tool has a similar thing. So we look at like how somebody is in their natural state. And then the second part of that is, well, how are you feeling in your job right now? And so if your charts, if your kind of mindset is not matching, then clearly something is happening in professionally that's draining you, and we need to address that.
Yeah, I love that. They're just such good tools to help give us a more laser-focused framework, another lens, if you will, to just help people to, often we can't when we're experiencing it, when an employee is experiencing it, they can't always put words to it. Right? It shows up as burnout, or it shows up as disengagement, or it shows up as I'm leaving. And the goal is to get, you mentioned regrettable turnover earlier, right? So the goal is to avoid the turnover that we would like to not have. There's natural turnover that's going to happen every year, but there's also, a component of it that we would like to not have. And these are cool tools. So my encouragement to the listeners that are listening in today is find that tool that works for you and your organization. Try some out, give it a go, whether you're working with the StrengthsFinder, you're working with the StrengthsScope, you work with us, you work with another organization. Like, use these tools, get opinions, give your people other things to look at, and your managers and leaders too. So hey team, please forgive this quick intrusion into the podcast, but I have a really important announcement that I want everybody to get their earballs on. And that is that we have an upcoming Thriving Leader event coming up August 21st and 22nd. The Thriving Leader is our flagship program. We have run this thing over 135 times across the broad scope of agriculture. Thousands of people have gone through this and our coaching programs, and our public events each year are free. We only run two of these per year because of that. And your next chance to get access is coming up on August 21 and 22. The next one will not be until 2025. So we hope to see you. It's in Kansas City. Head on over to thriving-leader.com. That's thriving-leader.com. agribusinessleader.com. You get all the details and to book a meeting to see how you can get free access for you and some of your team coming up at the Thriving Leader in Kansas City, Missouri, August 21st and 22nd, 2024. We'll see you there. Ryan, you know, moving on, what or who has been one of your biggest influencers over on you and your development over the last, say, 10 or 20 years that have brought you to where you're at today?
Yeah. And I think about that a lot. There are many. One that it's interesting, continues to kind of resonate and just as I interact with her even still. We started out kind of how we knew each other through FFA, but I was fortunate to serve Nebraska as a state FFA officer. And at that time, we had an incredible leader for state officers and really for the FFA Association in Donnell Walters. At that time, Donnell Johnson, but Donnell Walters now. I think just in terms of somebody who is an educator, selfless, and you know, lessons learned as far as how to interact with people, doing things the right way, mm-hmm. that professionally she was and continues to be a huge influence, I think, as far as things that I think about and how I interact with people and how I want to lead and how I want our organization to be is in a lot of ways directly reflective of things that I've learned from her. I still think too, you know, less professionally, but still how it shows up professionally. You know, my grandfather was a good Nebraska farmer, cattle feeder and farmer. And I've learned just so much from him about, you know, the value of relationships and loyalty and doing what you say you're going to do and doing it on time. And we're still very much believers in a handshake at Servitech and that business mm-hmm. gets done that way. And a lot of that for me is reflective of his influence as well.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, I didn't know your grandfather, but I do know you, and I can only imagine that there was some very intentional leadership on his part there. And I do know Donnell Walters. And so I was excited to hear you bring up her name, because I know there are a lot of us involved in FFA that were positively influenced by her. So,
and her impact, I mean, that's the thing I still think about, just the influence and impact she continues to have. It's tremendous. She's outstanding.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So cool, man. What's the best part and what's the hardest part about being a CEO?
There are a lot of things that are good. I will tell you, I love action. I love being able to be in the middle of things. Right. And I sometimes think it's challenging not to be too much in the middle. Right. You know, there are things where I enjoy still being able to go out to the field and do some of those kinds of things, but I also know, well, my time is probably better spent elsewhere. But all of that being said, you know, I enjoy just the interactions with our staff. We've got an incredible team. I enjoy so much about what we do at Servitech and our mission and what we try to accomplish daily. And so it's a lot of fun to be able to represent that to our staff, to our customers, to our ownership, to our board of directors. So all of those pieces are a lot of fun. You know, what's challenging, and I still share this, and sometimes it still gets me. You know, everybody's been a part of an organization, and they always say to themselves, you know, if I was in charge, here's what I'd do. Mm-hmm. And I certainly remember having some of those similar thoughts, and then suddenly you're like, oh shit, I am in charge. And it's not as easy as I thought it would be when I was saying all of those things. And so I think the challenging part to me is, and I'm not saying it's not fun, but it's finding the balance of, well, there's a reason that maybe I didn't understand at the time for why these things happen this way. I'm not saying that we can't continue to change and evolve, but it takes a process. And so for me, like, the challenging part is finding that balance of a velocity of change without it feeling erratic or being scary, or, you know, because there's a group of employees that, you know, as you change things or as you try to grow, as you try to evolve, that it can be disconcerting and discomfortable for them. And so, like I said, finding that balance, and then just the fact that at the end of the day, and I believe this, right? Like it all it's all my problems, you know? And so whether it's simple things like an intern was out on a field with their four-wheeler when it was too wet, and now we got some ruts and an upset customer, to some of the bigger things, you know, at the end of the day, all of that is still my issue and my problem. So just the magnitude of that at times can be challenging too.
So how do you handle that? How do you shoulder that? Right. I mean, that's one of the things that I think all leaders struggle with. I know I've been challenged with it at the end of the day, man, when it's payroll time, like that's on you. Like you got to make sure
Right.
when it's the little, mistakes that people make, like that will get reflected on you.
Yeah. You know, I will tell you again, I don't be the first to admit, I don't think I have it all figured out. There are any number of days where I feel stress or anxiety or any of those kinds of things, but I do know, I've got a good team of leaders at Servotech that I can rely on and delegate and trust that when we agree that something happens or needs to happen, it's going to get done and they're going to execute. Professionally, I've got that. At home, I mean, I'm blessed with an outstanding, you know, my wife is as incredibly supportive as anyone you will meet, and two fantastic girls that can help me take my mind off of any number of stresses. So those two pieces are really essential. And then ultimately, I mean, yeah, it's like at some point you kind of have to recognize there's a higher power out there as well. And you know, we're all going to struggle as God intends for us. And so I guess just recognizing that there's value in that you don't have to shoulder it all, that there is a higher power that's a part of it with you.
Wow. Well, great answer to that. And then, there's from one thing I hope that people take away from the season where we focus on CEOs is that we see that CEOs running these companies in agribusiness are people. That they're human people. They're also a dad and a mom and a son and a daughter, a husband and a wife, and they they struggle with the weight of this. One thing that I think people often think that leaders have it all figured out, right? We elect these people to high positions of leadership serving our country, or they earn their way into a role as the CEO or a vice president of a company, and the assumption is this person has it all figured out. And at the end of the day, right, the leader may be just a few steps ahead of where the people are, the team is, only because they spend maybe more strategic time. But really, like their job is to lead a collaborative effort of other leaders to get the work done and to do the work through. And I think there's a misconception, right, often, because we have this happens in almost every company that we work with. In our work, we end up working with a lot of field staff. We also work with those that are in the leadership roles, right? We're unique that we touch both sides of that. And so what happens often is we become the middle person or the middleman between the conflict that arises between field staff and the head shed, right? And your field staff, I'm not saying your field staff, but the field staff often will call it that, right? They call it the head shed.
The
And
guy,
there's
the powers that be,
It's an interesting, right? And I think we're sort of maybe programmed to do that, or maybe there's a natural proclivity of humans to look at something I can't control, so I make a story about it, or whatever the case may be. And what I would love for people to understand and being able to hear these interviews and see these interviews is like, you know what? Ryan Hassebrook is a man, is a human man, a God-fearing individual that happens to be in an important role, in the shepherding, a company that houses 170 people, right? And has a bigger impact across many, many farms beyond that, right? And what a big responsibility that is. And at the same time, like, hey, we're just normal guys and normal gals, in these roles as well. So,
And Mark, you touched on something there that to me I think is important too, in that like we have hierarchies of leadership, at least at Servotech, and this is kind of my thinking. It's like, yeah, we have hierarchies of leadership because we have to. Just you know, it's important, but I have no fear of any dialogue with anybody, and also coming in recognizing where my maybe I don't recognize it at first, but recognizing that I have blinders and maybe I don't know where they are, and then having somebody who can help tell me where they are, and so I'm good with that. One book that sticks with me, and I think for listeners out there, if they're going to read something, if they've not, Patrick Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I mean, man, there's two of those in there that always jump out to me, that it's so essential. The fear of conflict, and then avoidance of accountability. And I have no fear of intentional, thoughtful, constructive conflict, because I think ultimately we need it. And so I love to hear. I've joked a few times that, just with leaders or other staff members, it's like, if somebody has a problem with the man, or you know what I mean, the head shed, like, I want to know. Like, I'm my cell phone is out there. Let's talk. I'm not gonna hear. And there are times where, we make a decision about something, we get some feedback a month and a half down the line, and we're like, you know what, that is right. Let's pivot a little bit here. And I can think about several different instances where we've done some different things, where we thought we had it figured out. We get feedback from staff that were disgruntled, and we're like, yeah, you know what, they were right. We're gonna pivot and do something about that concern. So, I think there's just a lot to be learned.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Great book. Everybody in a leadership role or wants to be in a leadership role needs to understand this. Definitely get a copy of that or listen to it on your next drive. What other resources would you recommend, Ryan, that people be peering into, listening to, reading, ordering right now?
Oh man, there's so many of them out there. I will tell you, I one of my staff members is former Air Force, and still is in the Guard. And so, he absolutely loves, like, Jocko Willink, extreme ownership and some of those kinds of things. I am with you. I'm a big listener of podcasts. I'm a big listener, of just informational type things when I'm on the drive. There's an app out there that I would strongly recommend. It's called Blinkist. And so essentially, I mean, it's like Cliff Notes, if you will, for basically, I mean, any number of books out there, but they kind of distill books and things like that down into, it's what they call blinks. But usually within 20 minutes, and a drive, or 30 minutes, you can get really kind of the key concepts. And I find myself listening to those, and then going back and jotting things down. Spend a lot of time in the vehicle. But yeah, the Blinkist app is an exceptional one for finding content. And then, I mean, it's like anything, they get algorithms and start recommending different things to you. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic app.
Yeah, very cool. I love that. Jocko has definitely been recommended. I think I've said this a number of times now. It's probably our number one most recommended book on the podcast. I think what I'm going to do is just go get an affiliate link for Echelon Front for his leadership company and start making some bank off of all the recommendations he's got from listeners who have recommended that book. But it's definitely a great book. I mean, all the
It
Jocko
is,
stuff
absolutely.
is really good. Blinkist is a cool resource. And with that in mind, a little plug here. The Thrive Today app actually now has, as of the viewing of this podcast when it's live, we'll have a basically we're creating a warehouse of a repository, if you will, of great content. So in our app, we're actually able to house the Jocko podcast as an example, and actually sort through. And so we're curating content that we think is relevant to our listeners the participants of our programs, and saying, hey, rather than have to go search the internet, we put it all here. And then we take recommendations from our folks as well, and we load those things into our app. So it's a the Thrive Today app. You can download it in the store and get a free account, which is kind of cool, and get
Cool.
access to
Well,
some
that's
pretty cool
great.
training. Yeah, absolutely. So with that, Ryan, this has been a fascinating conversation. There's so much, and I think we could pick apart any one of these things and go super deep on it, but I'll leave it to you. Any last thoughts, considerations, or encouragement for the listeners of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader podcast?
I like I said, I'm a firm believer in having goals, and in all levels. We've got some 5-year goals, we've got some 3-year goals, we've got some next week goals. But one of the things that for me has been the most fun in this role is being a part of setting some goals and then celebrating the hell out of accomplishing those goals. And I think just in we talk a lot about having a winning culture, and as a sports metaphor, yeah, I would love a Hail Mary, but we don't need it. Let's get the first down, and let's get the next first down. And if we have to settle for a field goal, so be it. We'll get some points on the board. But all of those little things are about creating a winning culture, and so much of it is about celebrating those successes and the little things and taking the first step. So that's what we really try to emphasize.
Cool, man. I love it. That's great. Fantastic advice. And guys, check out Servitech. Get on over to check them out online. And Ryan, anywhere else that we can connect with you guys if anybody's looking into you?
Yeah, we're, I mean, Facebook, we've got a website, obviously. You can find us on LinkedIn. We've got a YouTube channel. And honestly, that we've got a number of agronomists that are out there. If you're seeking agronomic advice, a lot of our agronomists have their own pages where they're posting things on Twitter, now X. But yeah, there's a lot of information and resources. Servitech, we provide information, we provide data, and we're glad to do it as often as we can for you.
Awesome. Fantastic, man. Well, thanks for being on here. This has been fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope today's episode brought you a great deal of value about what it takes to lead life and lead in this industry with intention. If you want to go deeper on the topic of leading with intention, I encourage you to head on over to intentionaltoolbox.com and get the 7 free tools that will help you to lead your life in all areas with a greater deal of intention. That's intentionaltoolbox.com. And finally, if this message resonated today, if there's something in here that you got value from, I promise you there's someone else in your life who also would get value from this. So please share the episode, share the podcast, and make sure that you subscribe.